are back with episode 772 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
This is Gary from Jacksonville.
That's right, and we are once again a duo here on the show as Edmund continues to deal with his personal business and so forth, and we continue to have Bronstom down in Australia. He has been talking with us about his eventual return, but there's actually some tech reasons why he hasn't been here, not just the Australian internet in general, but just in terms of he needs to upgrade a few things, which actually last time he was here, I think he was bemoaning some of those exact same issues, so he is working on it.
And as a side note, he is celebrating his 1-year wedding anniversary this week, so congrats.
That's right, that's right, he is. For those who may be wondering if there's other reasons why he may not have been here much in the last year. Yeah, you know, we gave him a little time off, but it's time to crack the whip again soon. Really.
Agreed.
He's drawing this huge salary and he's not doing anything.
You know how that podcasting money is, you know, that's it just goes right to people's head, yes.
Big time. Oh, yeah. All right, well, yeah, I guess we are going to be starting off, as we mentioned before, we're continuing with our slow but steady changes to the show and some of the ways that we are handling things. And once again, we're going to go ahead and lead off with what we've been up to the last week that isn't going to be covered in the other segments. So, yeah, Gary, what have you been up to? Anything worthy of note?
Well, you know, it's out of topic, but in the real world, outside of our lives, the presidential inauguration, as well as the almost unprecedented march for women's rights in the last 24 hours, has really awed and impressed me in the level of response and activity. Just it's really sort of inspiring to see all these people coming out to have their voices heard. And I don't want to make too much of it because it's not really our show per se. But I did feel that it bore mention, as I really feel it's almost like a large shift in people voicing their opinions. And I have to commend everyone who participated in all those various events around the world. Actually, it's happened everywhere from, you know, the United States to Europe to even a small contingent in Antarctica. So kudos to everyone involved. On a little bit more on track note, I have an eternal stack of books next to my bed that I try to dive through every night, and I finally caught up to the last Scott Sigler GFL book, and I'm almost finished with it. I'll probably finish it before the weekend is through as we're recording, and it's always nice to run across your own name in a book. Of course, based on an intergalactic football league, and it's a very exciting read. And before anyone gets turned off thinking, ooh, sports, let me just say that Scott Sigler does such an amazing job with writing. Myself, who I am really not a sports fan in any real measurable way, love these books. He's able to introduce sports into this sort of science fiction universe in a way that, you know, you might hear black holes introduced or something like that, where you don't really know anything about them, but they describe it in such a way that it piques your interest, and it really does. And unfortunately, I found out that I had a pass intercepted from the heroes of the book series, and I can't feel that bad because they're a tough team to beat. But I yelled, "Damn!" And my wife says, "Oh, what happened? I intercepted it. One of my passes were intercepted." And she said, "What the hell are you talking about?" and she's somewhat familiar with the book, having met the author, as we're friends with him as well. And so it was nice to be have that little nod included in the book. And I was unfortunate that I did not win that game, but overall, it's been a fun series. He's currently writing the final book in the, I guess this would be the, let's see, one, I believe it's the fifth book, and that's currently being written, and he'll probably put it finish the series off with that fifth book. It's been a quite interesting read as we watched a rookie quarterback work his way up to the pinnacle of his sport, and it's been quite enjoyable. And in the background has actually been this sort of ongoing minor storyline about who controls this galaxy that all these worlds are set in. And it looks like he's actually setting up for a whole intergalactic war while we were watching football. So it's getting quite interesting. I'm looking for him to summit to really wrap it up. It's considered a YA book, and I guess, you know, there's not a lot of nudity or language, but other than that, I'd say it is really written for adults as well, that you can definitely not feel that it's a kiddie book in any sense of the word, and really enjoy the series. So as I said, I'm almost done. I think I have 30 pages left, so I'm looking forward to polishing that off soon. I'm trying to think anything else.
Well, in the meantime, while you're thinking, Yes. I will mention that, yeah, it is really interesting that you're reading a book from someone that you know personally. Mm-hmm. And I find that there are a few authors out there where we've either run into them at, say, Dragon Con or in other cons where it's just they are now a part of our kind of everyday life to a certain extent. I know, you know, you've introduced me to Scott in person, but we knew him from various other podcast networks throughout the years as well.
And oh, yeah, you know, as he... things. Exactly. He started off, he was one of the, maybe not the originator, but definitely one of the early adopters of podcasting his novels for free to try and build his audience. And he was very successful at it. He's made the New York Times top 10 list with a few of his books. And it's been a very good model for him. And he continues to do so, although lately he's been focusing more on writing. So he's actually had other people starting to record his books. And so you don't get that same touch anymore that I suppose everyone else is used to. But yeah, it was a novel idea to basically give your books away for free and then hope people are going to still buy them. But it he did it and it worked. So kudos to him.
Yeah, and I think of other people like, say, like Murray Lafferty, who has moved on from doing things in the podosphere, as it's called, by some, and now is out there getting quite a lot of things published. And I was just thinking that I don't think there's a day that goes by that in some way, shape, or form I don't interact with T. Morris. He's actually part of my Fitbit challenges quite often.
Good.
It's kind of neat to have that kind of world that we do now, where there's just... so many of those artificial layers between creator and fan and you know, supporter, however you want to put it, just, you know, you do have access to people when you are willing to be and to kind of treat them like a real human being instead of some kind of object on a pedestal. But yeah, it's interesting to see how that happens. And so, yeah, you mentioning that you have your name in one of his books, and it's like, yeah, this is someone that we were tossing back beers with just a few months ago.
As you say that, Tibor still owes me a beer, but I'll catch up at
some
point.
Well, eventually, yes, it will be dealt with. But yeah, and then of course, what you led with, it's also that interesting situation that we have now. I don't know that it's necessarily new, but I certainly noticed today one of the really interesting things was the how, you know, we had this huge historic march, and you know, whether you agree with it or not is kind of beside the point to what I'm saying right now, which is it's interesting when there are people that you've known for years or even met through the podcasts and through the extended family that we have through the VOG network and so forth and previous networks, that you see their personal piece of that story. And yeah, these are the moments where, you know what, don't necessarily get entirely caught up in just what the issue may be, but also take a look at your relationships with people. That, you know, as we often say, even when we're talking about these TV shows, very often what makes them the most interesting and what makes them excel is when you're looking at the human interactions between these people in extraordinary circumstances. And we are right now in a fairly historic, extraordinary circumstance, whether we think it should be or not. We are in very interesting times, and I think it's just worth kind of taking a step back and looking at the fact that each one of these major events is consisting of all these individuals that we know to a certain extent. And, you know, just allow that empathy to be there one way or the other. Try not to get caught up too much in the conflict that can all too easily erupt. Just my message there. Let's all be one big happy family. So anyway, yeah, anything beyond that, Gary?
No, not really. On the technical end, I finally installed a Bluetooth module into my car, so I now I'm getting ready for that day when my next phone might not have a headphone jack. But that's you know, just getting ready. Oh, and I recently got in a piece of mail, and I it was unexpected, and I was very thrilled to get it. I am I donated it to the Kickstarter for the Mystery Science Theater 3000 revival, and I got my official membership card. Yes, so I am. Yeah, this certifies that I am a card-bearing official founding member of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Revival League. Carry it with you at all times.
Very nice.
You know, obviously, you know, it's a laminated ID card, and it's very nice to, you know, get. And there's some other perks. You know, I'll get some episodes before they ever are released out into the world, and some other odds and ends as a donator, but it's still fun. And heck, I grew up enjoying that show, and the chance to get new material is great. And, you know, you figure you pay $6-7 a month for Netflix or something like that, and they're going to do over a dozen new shows, and their funding levels exceeded everything they ever possibly dreamed of. And I think they were as surprised as everyone else that there actually are so many of us, Misties out there that like this. So it was really fun that funding was successful, and they're conscientiously moving forward to make all those episodes happen. So they're securing rights to films, and they've interviewed people to be on the show. Some of the characters include Felicia Day, as well as Patton Oswalt, are joining the cast for these dozen episodes. So I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun.
Definitely sounds a lot of fun. I know that myself and a few, and definitely many other people, have almost like a holiday ritual of watching some of those shows and movies during breaks and stuff. So looking forward to the new ones for sure. You mentioned car technology. I think that some people who follow me on Facebook or somewhere else know that I got into a little bit of a fender bender about 10 days ago. But one of the side effects there was that the screen in my center console found itself somewhat shattered. So the nice thing about that, however, is that
there is a nice thing. Okay.
That there is a silver lining to it, because they replace it, but they replaced it with an updated version. So now my GPS maps are all up to date, and the GPS software is up to date, and I get to play with it again, because I now get to reset some of the settings that I originally put in and then forgot how to reverse. So now I can do all of that again. But you mentioned phones with no headphone jack, and yes, I've got one of those.
Okay.
Is incredibly important.
I'm just trying to future-proof myself, but I know it's coming awfully soon, so I figure better to jump in on the bandwagon now than get rolled over later.
Yeah, my iPhone 6 decided a few months ago, right before the holidays, that it no longer wanted to have a battery that charged. So that kind of forces you to do some upgrading. It's actually kind of nice to be able to do that. In fact, before, because it was a used car, I wasn't able to use the GPS that has Sirius XM, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing on there where you can, for a very affordable price, meaning less than $10 a month, I believe, you can get a traffic module into your GPS via the satellite. And so instead of having to put on MapQuest or something else when I have to try and figure out how to reroute around traffic, I can directly do it now, because now that it's a new unit, it doesn't have the previous owner's information attached to it anymore. So, no matter what I did, I could not get them to get the previous owner's account off of that unit. It's like they wouldn't believe me or something. I don't know. But now it's a new thing, and it's kind of nice. Silver lining to all the nonsense that, of course, has to happen even when you have a minor incident. So, speaking of reading things, I've been trying to read at a reasonable pace the latest in what is, by all reports, the final of the additional Dune books by Brian Herbert and Kevin J. Anderson, Navigators of Dune.
Okay.
It's the same as pretty much all their other books. The ideas are there, but they haven't figured out how to stop repeating themselves endlessly. They can have an entire chapter that is just the same point being driven into the ground seven different ways. And that gets a little old and makes it difficult to really want to spend a long time reading big chunks of the book. So I'm easing my way through so that I can focus more on the ideas than what than the writing style and the lack of trust in the audience to remember plot points without having them hit with a baseball bat. I'm about a third of the way in, I would guess. But I am interested to see how some of the pieces fit together and if it makes sense, because
now
always align with where you would think Frank Herbert's vision would have been.
Now, is it a very broad book or is it rather narrow? Because I know some of these follow-up Dune books have been, sort of specific in their focus.
This is fairly broad. It's the last of the quote-unquote schools of Dune books, so it's set right after the establishment of the Empire. So it's basically saying how the Bene Gesserit, the guild navigators,
mm-hmm.
The Mentats, the Swordmasters, basically all of those major groups that then are huge factors in the original Dune saga, how they all form and come into their power, their power bases and their checks and balances within the Imperium. So it's the third out of three books, so it is kind of getting to the point where you see those pieces moving into place, but it is broad because of that. It's not a very tight plot or tightly focused book in that regard. It's not just one school, for instance, or something like that. It's still everybody. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I've been mostly up to, and got to play a good chunk of Final Fantasy 15 today. It's still mostly side questing.
Yes, I noticed the different badges that pop up on one of your feeds from time to time. I was like, oh, I know what John's doing tonight.
Yep. When it is kind of I am getting a little bit more used to it. I will say that I know that a lot of other people on VOG Network, for instance, have played the game, and certainly I think a few have finished. I think infamously Rob Roberts over at Orange Lounge Radio has a tendency to get gamer ADD, as he calls it, and not finish games, but he did finish Final Fantasy 15, and so I know he obviously is way ahead of where I would be right now, but I'm still trying to get used to the combat system. It's a little different than what I'm used to, and that's probably the only thing really holding me back right now, is I don't want to go too far before I really understand what's going on there and get used to the controls. But as usual with these kinds of games, I really enjoy role-playing games, and so this is definitely one that I am having fun, even if I'm just running around fighting here and there and exploring the world. But yeah, it's good fun. So let's see, anything else on the list here? That's about all I've got. I will say as a general comment before we move on to our first topic beyond our intro here, is that I did mention last week that I wasn't sure if I was going to continue with the show Taboo.
Yes.
And I'll just say straight off, I watched about 10 minutes of the second episode and I just couldn't get into it. I wasn't even sure exactly what was going on and who everyone was, because it's just so, just, everything is just gray. Black or gray, that's the color palette they work in. Everyone is kind of the same and talking in riddles, and it's like, you know what? It's not hooking me. They didn't give me something I could really sink my teeth into. They're just expecting me to have patience with it. And in the world of peak TV, as people call it right now, you got to hook me. You got to give me something right off the bat, to, you know, in the first episode or two to really catch my interest. And this one wasn't doing it. So I don't think I'll be talking about that too much unless at some future point I do decide to just binge watch and see if it gets any better. But again, I'm thinking there's just so much else out there. And as we've discussed, Gary, and I think a few of us, others of us behind the scenes have talked about, is that we do get to a point where it's, why are we going to continue watching something if we're not fully engaged, just to say that we're still keeping up with it?
Yeah, now, often we'll give a new show or that started off pilot or whatever, we'll try and give it a few episodes, but I guess what you're saying in this case is this isn't even showing that type of promise.
No, and I've seen a lot of people who are disappointed in it, and people that whose opinions I trust basically saying that it really doesn't pick up as much as they were hoping it would, and it's not telling the story that they're hoping it would. So, yeah, unfortunately, there's a great cast, but I don't know that they have the material that is worth having that great cast. That's kind of my last thoughts on that one. So, yeah, I kind of decided this week I was going to set that one aside.
Well, I can't say I blame you, as it didn't go in from you, or I forget. I thought we might have had one other review on it, and both were pretty poor. So,
yeah. All right. Well, then that is it for our introductory segment here. So, when we come back from this short break, we are going to jump into one of our other major topics. So, stay tuned.
To my
Okay, and so we are going to get into a few of these topics, and essentially what we're doing here is, as we're evolving our way of dealing with the news segment that we used to lead with before, we're kind of picking some topics that we want to dig into a little bit more than others, and sometimes they are more representative of bigger topics, and that's the ones that I'm actually looking for these days, is the things that we can go beyond the article maybe and even talk about in general what we've seen over the years and how things have changed and what this may or may not mean. So I found this article or saw this article, and it actually went around with a lot of the fans of The Walking Dead. And apparently the producers for The Walking Dead actually went in and decided to tone down on the overall extent of violence once they got that backlash from the season premiere this year. And if, for those who may not remember, I don't know how you could forget, but just in case, what we're talking about is that season premiere where Negan basically beat in the heads of two characters. And that wasn't even the most violent thing that he did. He was also threatening to cut off Carl's hand. And that was a fairly emotionally wrenching moment as well, because he had shown a propensity for doing exactly what he said he was going to do, and so everybody thought it was maybe possible he would. But certainly there were a lot of people that came out of the gate saying after that episode they were never watching the show again, and something needed to be done, and there were some people that outright refused to watch the show after that, or even because of that. And I know that we remarked on it that, you know, it was a topic that we discussed here amongst ourselves, which was did they go too far? And apparently even the producers got the message that perhaps they did, because by the time that they had the mid-season finale, they notably admitted that they took a scene that they had filmed with Daryl, where Daryl beat somebody pretty much to death, and they intentionally recut it to not show the person's bloodied corpse. where Daryl essentially did exactly what Negan had done just a few episodes earlier, but they chose not to show it this time, after graphically showing the results of what Negan had done. So I guess the first thing here, Gary, is, you know, I'm guessing you probably saw the same articles or saw the same news, and what was your thoughts, or what was your thought when you saw that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it was titillation. It was it was showing the gore just for ratings' sakes, and it really backfired on them. And as a side note, though, it really wasn't that far off from the comic books. You know, as we talk about where they stray in and out of really going lockstep with the comic books and going away from it, especially the Glenn part, that's pretty spot on to what happened in the original source material. So I don't know that they necessarily felt that they were going above and beyond the source material for what they did, but they definitely were going for shock and awe with it, and it rubbed too many people the wrong way. Of course, this is, you know, not that the comic book is still followed in crazy numbers, but it's a black and white pulp book, for lack of a better term, and it typically didn't have a large following, and one of the freedoms that you have in that type of genre, in that less than mainstream comic books, is the ability to show this kind of gore and violence. And I guess maybe the writers felt, and I can't say unreasonably so, that this is what the audience wants to see. And obviously it is not what for the AMC show, a mainstream audience wants to watch. So it shows an example of maybe you can't follow the source material too close, and because you have different audiences. And I think this is definitely what sort of showed with the backlash. People don't want to see the comic book, at least not exactly. So that's what I'm taking away from it. It's sort of that they didn't change the source material enough for the target audience.
That's definitely an aspect that I've seen other people talk about too, is just that what works on the page, does it have to try to be replicated so exactly on the screen? Because there is such a difference. I mean, I know that when people were seeing adaptations of, say, cartoons to live action, and there was or even when it seemed like something that went from cartoony to more realistic in other adaptations, that sometimes the level of violence was a lot harder to accept once you saw something that looked more real to life. And I think that is a point, that there are even people who are huge fans of the comic who would never want the comic to be toned down. But do you really want to see that play out in real life? Especially when it's these characters that you've become so attached to. It is a difficult thing to do. But I also wonder to myself that in the larger sense. I mean, we can talk about The Walking Dead, and certainly one could, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people who are going to disagree and say, well, this is such a gory show anyway, and so forth. I would argue that they've actually amped it up over the years. They've always had a certain sense of gore, but they're always looking to one-up that. And we've even talked before about, are they going almost to the point of shock value at this point, where they're just trying to outdo themselves, and it's getting a little bit ridiculous anyway, even with the zombies.
Definitely. Some of the zombie attack scenes are, you know, in the source material are never quite as blatant or as gory. Yet, you know, in the TV series, it almost seems like, okay, we have to insert 6 minutes of somebody that's had really good zombie makeup and kill them in a very violent way. It's almost a trope of the television show at this point.
Right. Yeah. And I look at that escalation, too, and I wonder to myself, let's just look at overall. We've got a landscape right now where I feel like even the... just about every show that has the opportunity to do it is pushing those boundaries pretty, pretty far. I think when I don't know that it necessarily crossed too many lines, but I could definitely see where some people thought that it may have. But I even think of a show like The Exorcist, where I was shocked, and I mentioned it many times, at just how far they took things for a network show. There was a point where there was, you know, somebody basically getting their face ripped off kind of thing, and they didn't show it like they would on, say, The Walking Dead or something that we might have seen on Spartacus, but... yeah, I feel like even, you know, we were remarking back during the days of talking about Spartacus, for instance, Starz was really pushing those boundaries.
Well, you know, I'm sort of reminded...
like everybody is, right? I mean, it's...
yeah, and I'm reminded of conversations that actually with Hitchcock, you know, as the some of the blood and gore type of stuff was really starting to become prevalent, yet he's, you know, he's making these movies, and, you know, he sort of says, you know, if I have to tell the story with, you know, with that kind of violence, then I failed. You know, he says it's, you know, at least for him, it was about, you know, the horror. It wasn't about the blood. And it's sort of, you have this. And I think the show has sort of lost that, too. You had that thing where they were sort of terrified of the zombies. Or like, oh, my God, if they even see one, quick, kill it, run, get away. Now you see various groups tying them up to use them as watchdogs and, you know, and booby traps and stuff like that. And the actual horror of a zombie really isn't there anymore in this show. Yes, of course, they could attack you and kill you. But they're treated so much more like tools than they were in the first one or two seasons.
And I guess from a plot perspective, if we were just looking at it at that show, it would be, you know, sensible that people who had lived long enough in that apocalypse to still be alive, it would have almost become normalized to deal with the undead.
Yeah, but are we even at year two at this point?
I think we're about 3 years.
Three? Ago, okay.
Which, a big difference, I know, but, you know, it is. It's, they've gone from the point of the mentality they had back when they were in the prison, even, to where they are now, where the idea of having these communities that can be set up as relative safe zones is a little bit more amenable to them, even though, you know, you still have issues like when Alexandria's wall fell and they had the mass slaughter of people because the herd came through. But you see them used as tools. You see them used as weapons. I mean, you saw the saviors weaponize zombies.
Yeah.
Here, mm-hmm. Knock down the gate, throw, you know, send them in this way, and they become this very, they become a weapon. They don't become an external existential threat nearly as much as they used to be. At the same time, you know, is that something that they're struggling with? Is that why they felt the need to kind of amp it up on the human side, even in the original story? Who knows? But I'm just looking at the overall. Is this a sign of a backlash on the part of the overall audience to say, have we gone just a little far with the, you know, the gore and the violence? Because I do see a lot of people kind of balking at it at this point. But at the same time, we've seen so many other standards loosen. Language. I mean, there's stuff that's on basic cable now that we never, even 10 years ago, would have expected them to be able to do.
Sure.
In terms of language and everything else. I'm reminded, going back to, and it's because somebody mentioned it lately, but Babylon 5. There was one episode, and I forget exactly which episode it was, maybe you remember, Gary, but where there was a actual fairly important plot point that happened, And over in England, I think it was, they cut the scene because of violence. Now, you go back to watch that show these days, and what was quote-unquote violent then, and that was the mid-90s, right? So you figure, there is not one thing on that show that today would be considered pushing the boundaries in terms of violence. And that's now not even the norm, that's tame these days. But this was a situation where back, you know, not that long ago, for, you know, 20 years, a little more, you've got, you know, these scenes that were literally cut out for an audience overseas because it was too violent. I think there has been a move, and to a certain extent, I don't necessarily mind it as long as it makes sense within the story that they're trying to tell, or at least it is the kind of show where you fully expect it to happen. I mean, if there's like a horror movie, you don't, they advertise it as being gory, you're not going to sit back and say, well, why did you have so much extreme violence? No, come on. We know that that's going to happen. But I think we've also had that happen in movies. I mean, we've talked about it too. There's just a whole brand of movies that they now call torture porn.
Yeah, some movies are like,
yeah. Yeah, they're all intentionally over the top, horrifically gory. And yeah, it's almost that, like, that's, you know, that used to be shocking to the point where there were a whole bunch of horror fans that would never in a million years go to see that. It was over the top.
Yeah, it would be an X film that you would have to go midnight somewhere to run across it. Now it's on, at 10 o'clock on your cable.
Yeah. So it's interesting, and I don't know that, you know, there's really a conclusion to come to at this point, but it is something that I've noticed, and it made me think that, yeah, maybe there's even people who are fans of a show like The Walking Dead that say, there is a line. You don't need to cross it just in the name of trying to keep up with some curve of expectation of, okay, we're always going to top ourselves here. Top yourself in the story.
Well, you know, for a long time, the zombies were that sort of terror thing. And as I said, as they've now become, to a large extent, neutered, they were hoping that, that showing this violence human to human would be what the people wanted to see. Oh, this was the formula, and now we really can't do that anymore because we've, zombies are not this sort of shock and horror thing anymore. They're just sort of like a weapon that can be let loose, or you have to avoid, or you have to deal with. But so now let's show that same kind of violence and horror between people. And, you know, obviously, I think having the zombies do it was that sort of step removed from humanity. But now that we're seeing humanity on humanity, people aren't as comfortable. You know, in a lot of ways, the zombies worked as a metaphor, and now that we've stripped that metaphor away and we're using human beings to try and make the same points, I think it's leaving people very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and like I said in the comic, it took years to get there, and here it's not quite as long.
No,
not quite as long. All right, so. Any last thoughts on this topic? I mean, anything else that your thoughts on just generally where our media has gone in terms of this topic?
Oh, geez. Well, no, I agree with you. The level of violence and horror are we want to say, that's just going to be on cable TV. But even the bounds for network TV, they're trying to keep up with cable outlets anymore. And they're going to that same route. And while I'm not a huge fan of some of the rating systems that exist in the world, as they move to show things that are so much more graphical in nature and horrific, I do see a need for that. Not that everyone needs to get coddled, but quite frankly, gosh, it's a nice Saturday afternoon. I don't feel like watching someone have their head beaten. You know, it's just, you know, I understand the need for labels, and I would hope that they actually sort of do flag themselves out when they decide to take this right turn into this much more serious material.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see, but it's not going away. It's going to be here for some time to come. So I don't mind it for story's sake, but when it's just for shock value only, I could do without it.
Yeah, I think that's where I fall as well, is that I didn't necessarily mind it because it was directly out of the source material, and I think I even said so at the time that, you know, hey, this is what they did in the story, and even people on the show were fairly insistent that, hey, we want to be as faithful as we can. But I think even they learned a lesson that the larger audience that they are trying to attract and keep is made up of a lot of different people, and not just the faithful to the comic. And some of them didn't really want to see that. They're basically, in my mind, a lot of the people that said, nope, I don't want to keep going with this, are those people, like you said, Gary, that were more your zombie fans.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gotten to be not zombies anymore. Now it's people. And that's not necessarily what they signed up for. And I it would all be idle discussion if it wasn't for the fact that the ratings this season have plummeted. I mean, they've lost a good third of their audience. And that doesn't happen just because the story or that the episodes have been a little slow or anything like that. Because every season before this has been like that for quite some time. They've always slowed down in between the premiere and in the mid-season finale, and then they would pick it back up, and then they do the same thing on the second half. And you lose a few 100,000 viewers here or there, and they always come back in the end. And they were growing, growing, growing until now. Now they've lost a huge chunk, and it can't just be because the story slowed down. I really do believe that there is a huge chunk of them. And you know what? It was probably some of these people, too, that had, you know, their preteen kids watching the show with them. And it's one thing when it's zombies.
Yeah.
It's a whole other thing when it's a person. So.
And it should be. It really should be. You know, when they try to do the same stories with people, it becomes a different show.
Yes.
So.
It's a show that, you know, I make no bones about it. When I first started watching it, my comment was, I don't really watch zombie stuff, but I'm intrigued with what the people are doing. So for me, this is more or less the story that I knew I was getting into. But others maybe not. But at any rate, we're kind of repeating ourselves. But
yes,
I think that it reinforces the point. And I think that we're going to go ahead and wrap this particular episode up here. As we said before, we are going to have shorter shows with deeper topics, and we're going to continue to try to keep to that formula and maybe expand and improve upon it. So next time, we are going to have another couple topics and probably go through some of those news items that we did have in the past week. And then following that, we will get into some episodic discussion, as we usually do. So until next time.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as Fair Use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the Critical Myth.